Welcome to the broadcast of the Bible Way Church of Atlas Road, where Daryl Jackson is our pastor. We're located at 2440 Atlas Road in Columbia, South Carolina, and we're glad you've tuned in. We pray that today's message is a blessing to you. If you desire prayer, our ministers are available to pray with you. Give us a call at 803-776-1238 or call us toll-free at 1-888-776-1238. Today, Pastor Daryl Jackson shares the message titled, An Act of Gratitude.
There's a word from the Lord this morning as we continue this series of messages that God has given us since the beginning of this year. At the beginning of this year, we chose one word as the theme for our church throughout this year, and the word was grateful. And not knowing the things that would unfold, not even knowing last Sunday as I stood here and preached a message entitled, I Am Still Grateful. Amen. And I've got news for the enemy. I am still grateful. Amen. This is another message in this series taken from St. Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through verse 16, the New Living Translation. In fact, Pastor Jennifer Bishop did a marvelous job Tuesday preaching from this text. And I said to her husband, my dear friend, Pastor Aaron Bishop, that is the text that God has given me for this Sunday. And he leaned over and said, it's confirmation, brother, that God wants that word preached. Amen. The enemy tried his best to convince me not to preach. But I told the devil, as I often tell him when he gets up in my business, the devil is a liar. Amen. The devil is a liar. St. Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 16, the New Living Translation. Hear the reading of God's holy word. As Jesus continued on toward Jerusalem, he reached the border between Galilee and Samaria. As he entered a village, there 10 men, somebody shout 10, with leprosy stood at a distance, crying out, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. He looked at them and said, go, show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. Verse 15, one of them, somebody shout one. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back to Jesus, shouting, praise God. He fell to the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking him for what he has done. I'm going to say that again. Thanking him for what he has done. Can we try it one more time? Thanking him for what he had done. And this man was a Samaritan. One translation say, and this man was a stranger. And those that love God's word, help me say amen. 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 For the next few moments, I want to speak to you in this grateful series, this new message for this day. Look at someone and simply says, an act of gratitude. Look back at somebody, say, an act of gratitude. Now, just before you sit down, wave at somebody and say, do something. Clap those hands as you take your seat. An act of gratitude. Gratitude is not how you feel. It is what you do. Amen. So please just somebody shout, do something, do something, do something. It has been said that we are currently living in what has been described as an ungrateful society. These are not the words of Pastor Jackson. These are the words of those who study humanity, study the behavior of humanity. They have somewhat concluded that perhaps we are living in a time of ungratefulness unlike we have never seen before. For there are those who have no problem asking for what they need or what they desire. In fact, I told the church this morning during the 8th, there are those who have no problem demanding what they think they need or desire, insisting that you ought to help them. A sense of entitlement and ungratefulness. But these same folk who have no problem asking, insisting, demanding, seems to struggle to show any kind of gratitude. They boldly ask and demand, but struggle to show any kind of gratitude. And perhaps there is nothing more upsetting to someone who helps someone else than an ungrateful attitude, an attitude of ungrateful. Am I right about it? Can we just be honest? You don't mind helping people, but it disturbs you when the people you help are not grateful. Just, I don't know about you, but it rubs me the wrong way when people you help are back asking you for help again without even saying thank you for what you've already done. We're living in this kind of environment and this kind of society. I found this wonderful anonymous quote that I want to share with you, and we put it on the board. It says this: ungrateful people complain about one thing you haven't done for them, or the one thing that you haven't done for them, instead of being thankful for the thousands of things you have done. Doesn't that sound familiar? Sounds familiar? They spend their time throwing up in your face the one thing you did not do. Whew. Lord help. Without thinking. In fact, there are people who would get angry at you and stop associating or communicating with you because you haven't done the one thing that they think you should have done, and they neglect to acknowledge or to thank you for the thousands of things you have done. Look at somebody and shake your head and say, God bless, God bless. I don't know. It's just, I'm not picking on any generation, okay? But it just seems to be prevalent among people here today, that sense of entitlement. I know folk who are angry at me right now because one thing I could not deliver and failed to neglect to even appreciate the many things we did deliver. And sometimes I find myself, and God has to help me, God has helped me with this, worrying and stressing about how they are upset at me. And God says, why are you wasting your energy over their ungratefulness? Anybody else have been there? Sometimes you got to learn how to kick the dust off your feet and just move on and say, to God be the glory. Now, listen to this. If this kind of attitude is upsetting my deep, good friend, Deacon Carlos Mays, the great Kappa Alpha Psi. if this kind of attitude is upsetting to us as humans, imagine how God feels when we neglect or refuse to show our gratitude for all that he has done and is doing on our behalf. There are folk with the unmitigated gall to tell me that they don't come to church because they're angry at God, because God didn't heal someone they prayed for, or God didn't do what they asked God to do. And I just want to tell them so badly, well, who woke you up this morning to be mad? Think about it. It was God who put breath in your body so that you can have an attitude, okay? And yet we fail to thank him for what God has done. I remember this, and I told the church this morning, Deacon William T. Moore at the 8. I remember as a young man, a young person, growing up in the church environment with my other young buddies and stuff in church, we would often hear the older members of our church say to us, young people of the congregation at that time, as we complained about everything, and we did complain about everything. Church too long, church too hot, church too cold, bishop preaching too long, won't let us do anything, food don't taste good, tired of potato salad and pound cake. Can't they come up with something else? Y'all know church folk got a PhD in complaining. I'm going to preach about that next Sunday. I've got a message God has given me next Sunday for all the complaining. I want y'all to do me a favor. You know a complainer, don't even tell them what I'm preaching about. Just give them an incentive. Say, I'll pick you up. I'll put gas in your car. I'll take you to eat at the church. I just need you to come to church with me. Because we're going to talk about all of those complainers. But I remember as a young man growing up in church, when we would complain, the older generation would walk by and they would simply say to us, just be grateful. Just be grateful. Elder Sarah, they knew something. The older generation knew something that we did not know or realize. And that is, a little gratitude can carry you a long way in life. Am I right about it? Look at somebody and say, just be grateful. They heard us complain, Deacon Simmons, but they knew that if you live a little longer, then the little things that you think matter really don't matter. And as I got older and got wiser and had to pay bills and pay mortgages and had to discipline kids, I learned how to be grateful for what used to be the little thing. Lord, I thank you for health and strength. Just thank you for keeping me in my right mind. If you've ever had to raise teenagers, you ought to just thank God for not losing your mind. Good. Lord, thank you. I didn't lose my mind. Just thank you for keeping me in perfect peace. Whew. That's what the older generation realized. Son, if you be grateful, be thankful, God will turn it around on your behalf. And so oftentimes, an act of gratitude is so important and so unusual among some people. Here's what God dropped in my spirit. God says an act of gratitude can be more valuable. I want you to hear this. Particularly the next generation, an act of gratitude can be more valuable to our success than talent or skills. There are times in which just being grateful can carry you further than your talent and your skills. Do you hear me? Just appreciating what has been done and what is being done on your behalf. Doing that right now can take you a long ways. Perhaps, and here's what God said to me, and perhaps the greatest act of gratitude is to simply go back to God and say thank you. That's it. God says, I'm not asking you for anything else. I just want to hear you say thank you. Perhaps when we think of the goodness of Jesus and all he has done for me, somebody ought to just go back and say, Lord, I thank you. Thank you for the healing that only you did. Thank you for making ways out of no ways. Thank you, the old church says, for being a heart fixer and a mind regulator. Thank you for being a way maker. Whew. Anybody, in fact, this is a good time right now. Just take 20 seconds. Just think of something that God did for you and thank him. When you think, you ought to think. When you T-H-I-N-K, you ought to T-H-A-N-K. Woo, can you think of something that God has done for you that only, come on somebody, all you have is a few more seconds to say, Lord, it is of the Lord's mercies we have not been consumed. His compassion faileth not. It is renewed every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Somebody ought to know, when my enemy and my foe came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. By his stripes, I have been healed. I am healed. I will be healed. Woo! Faith knows how to praise God for what he's done, what he's doing, and what he will do. Somebody, you only have 10 more seconds, maybe 20 more seconds. You owe God a praise. Look at somebody and say, you owe God at least one good praise. Woo! Woo! In fact, somebody say, I don't look like what I've been through. But if God had not woke you up this morning and started you on your way, you wouldn't look like anything. Amen, somebody. I'm just grateful I'm not in the mall. I'm grateful I'm not at Green Line. Come on, somebody. Head hurt, back hurt, got problems in my life. But it could be worse. When I think of his goodness and all he's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. Lord, I thank you. Somebody help me say, Lord, I thank you. I got up an hour earlier this morning because I had an act of gratitude in my spirit. Look, I love seeing you, but I didn't get up early to see you. I got up this morning because when I think of his goodness and how he set me free, I have to praise God. Clap those hands. Give God your best praise. In this incredible text of all of the miracles by Jesus, this miracle has the uniqueness of things happening that had not happened in some of the other miracles. Perhaps there is no greater example of an act of gratitude than what is found in the text today. We're told in the text that as Jesus enters a certain village, 10 men with leprosy approached him from a distance. Now, here's what the text doesn't tell you. Jesus went to their village because the law prohibited them from going anywhere else. There were leper colonies, leper villages, where lepers had to live their entire life in the village. And if the loved ones wanted to see them, they had to come stand afar and communicate from afar off. So the text is very specific. It says Jesus went to a certain village. Everything Jesus does is intentional. So Jesus went to that village, and the text tells us as he enters a village. Here's what the text says. These are not my words, but here's what the text says. He enters the village. He doesn't stand afar off to communicate. Oh, good God Almighty. Won't he meet you where you are? Won't he come to where you are? How the psalmist says he's a very present help in the time of trouble. He enters their village. And as he enters their village, 10 men with leprosy approached him from a distance, because if they would have touched any human being, they would have been stoned to death. If a human being touches them, then the human being would have to be isolated like the leper. So Jesus enters their village. How many men? Somebody shout 10. 10 approach Jesus with a knowledge of who he was. Do I have time to preach this? Look at the text. Here's what I learned a little bit with a little education that I got, is that sometimes the text will give you implied hermeneutics, which certainly means that you can imply from the text, you can pull the homiletics, Dr. Cheryl Washington, from the text, because here's what the text says. They approached him from a distance, and here's how I know they knew him. They cried out, Jesus, here's the word, Master, have mercy on us. Only the disciples used the word master. Only those who were in his inner circle he allowed to call him master. They could have said, Jesus, son of Nazareth, have mercy on us. But they, as Mother Maddie Harris says, I know something about Jesus. Deacon Albert Simmons, the old sainted mother of Zion, named Mother Maddie Harris, used to say, what you know about Jesus? Somebody in the back of the church would cry out, he's all right. So let me try that. What you know about Jesus? Paul says, and we know that all things work together for good. They knew something about Jesus. They knew he was a master. They knew he was a healer. Not only did they know it, but they believed that he could do it for them. It's one thing to know what he's done for others, but they cried out, here it is again, Master, have mercy on us. They didn't approach John. They didn't approach Peter, James, Judas, Thomas. They went to Jesus because what they knew about Jesus, they did not know about Peter. Is there anybody in here? I just want to make sure I'm in the right church that know that he is a healer. Because in fact, y'all help me encourage somebody else. I just got, if y'all don't do it, just do it for me. Is there anybody in here that's ever been in intensive care and God healed your body? Can you stand up and just be a witness for me? Look at them feet. Look at them, Mother Jackson. If God can do it for you, Deacon Stephon McCoy, God can do it for me and anybody else. You owe God a... Don't y'all fool me. I'ma try something else. I'ma take personal privilege. Is there anybody in here that ever had a stroke and God raised you up? I need you to stand and just wave your hands and let me know that God is able. Anybody in here? Anybody in here ever had heart disease and God raised you up? Ever had cancer and God raised you up? Excuse me, but the God I serve, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly more than we can ask or think. Somebody shout, he's able. Now sit down, thank you. Thank you for the encouragement. Thank you. Woo, I feel better now. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for the encouragement. God is still able. Woo. Verse 14 says Jesus looked at these 10 men and said to them, now the message is entitled, An Act of Gratitude. But before you can have an act of gratitude, there needs to be an act of faith. Here is the act of faith. Jesus looked at these 10 men. And to this point, Jesus had touched people. Jesus spoke over people and says, take up your bed, rise and walk. Jesus, at the woman with issue of blood touched him. Jesus said to her, daughter, you are healed. But to this point, Jesus looked at these 10 men, and Jesus knew because they knew Jesus. Can I preach this? Jesus says, I'm going to put your faith to the test. Do I have time to preach this? Let me give you a little context. So if you had leprosy, the only way you can be declared healed or cleansed is that you would have to go take your cleansed body, healed body, restored body to a priest, and the priest will verify that you no longer have leprosy. The priest, remember this, the priest was the validator. I'm preaching now. So Jesus says, let me test your faith out. The only way you went is after you knew you were cleansed. Because if you left your village not cleansed, someone saw you, anyone had the right to stone you to death. So it had to take some kind of faith. Jesus said, this is what I'm going to do. Go and show yourselves to the priest. Wait a minute. Before you were cleansed, the text indicates that, before you saw your new hand and your new feet, in other words, I need you to step
out on faith and go act as if it is already done. Catch me, somebody. I need you to leave this altar at the church, leave this building, and act as if it is already done. Sister Kim Diamond, when I prayed for your father, Deacon Diamond, as he was leaving to go to MUSC for major surgery, he looked at me, he said, "Pastor, I'll see you when I get back." I didn't think about that until I got in my car. I got in my car and said, this 84-year-old man who's going to have his heart removed from his body, his kidney removed, he has told me, "I'm coming." Who am I preaching to? I want somebody who's asking God for something right now that you already believe it is already done. Don't worry about folks sitting next to you, but stand to your feet and say, "Lord, I thank you for it is already, already." Already done. Already done. Already done. Here's the text. Here's what happened. Here's what happened. Here's what the text says. And as they went, they were cleansed of the leprosy. It did not happen until they left. It only happens when you step out on faith and believe he is a healer before you are healed. It's done. It's done. Do me a favor. Leave your seat and just wave at somebody and say, "Neighbor, I showed up to encourage you and to tell you it is already." It is already. It is already. Why aren't you praising God now? Because it is already. It's done. It's done. It's done. Where are my faith praises? Is there anybody know how to praise God on credit? Know how to praise God on faith? Look at your neighbor and say, "Neighbor, I'm praising God not for what I see, but for what I believe." It's done. It's done. It's done. It is. Wave at somebody and say, "Healed, delivered, set free, family delivered, body delivered." Y'all excuse us. It's done. It's done. As they went. Trying to get finished this. Whew. So the focus of the text now changes. To this point, the focus of the text was on 10 different men. it now shifts. Tell your neighbor, I feel the shift coming. Anybody can be blessed, but the shift happens when those who are blessed come back to praise God for what God has already done. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I feel the shift coming. One of them looked at his hand, and his hand looked new. One of them looked at his feet, and his feet did too. And he decided to put the validator on hold to go back and thank the miracle worker. Did you catch it? Did you catch it? On his way to the priest, Deacon Staff, he stopped and turned around and said, y'all go on without me. I have some unfinished business. He went back, found Jesus in the crowd, dropped to his feet, fell at the feet of Jesus, and began to thank him for what he had done. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I had to come back. I had to come back. I had to come back. Is there anybody in the house grateful for what God has done on your behalf? Is there anybody in the house want to praise God for what God has already done? Tell your neighbor, neighbor, you owe God some kind of praise. Listen, Jesus then turned to the crowd and asked three questions of the crowd, not of the man, but of the crowd. Didn't I heal 10? Question number one. Question number two, where are the other 9? I've got a question for you. Are you the 9 or the 1? The third question, has no one returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? Not a church worker, not somebody with status, not someone highly thought of in the community, no title, just grateful. No position, just a praiser. Tell your neighbor, my position in the church is that I'm a praiser. Folk want to know what you do in the church. I praise God. That's what I do. I'm a praiser. Woo! Where are the 9? I got to leave here. Let me leave you with 3 key insights as it relates to gratitude. Learn from this incredible testimony of this one grateful man. 3 key things I need you to take away from here, and we're done. Number one is this. Real gratitude recognizes the source of our blessings. This one former leper, and I told the church this morning, Pastor Lawson, I debated whether to put this description in my notes until God reminded me that we all are former somethings. Am I right about it?
Look at somebody and say, you are a form of something. You may be bougie and all dressed up today, but you haven't always. Come on, somebody. You used to be something. Oh, you used to be something before God pick you up and cleanse you, turn you around. This one former leper didn't just feel something, he did something. He went back to the source of the miracle. Look at what I said. He bypassed the validator to go back to the miracle worker. That's unusual for our time because we love to be validated. We love folk to pat us on the back and say, you're all right now. But he said, I need to go back to the man who made me all right, not the one who declared I look all right. Thank you, Holy Ghost. He went back to the miracle worker, not to ask for another miracle, but to simply say, thank you. Lord, I don't need anything else. I'm not asking for anything else. I came back to simply say, thank you. Many people enjoy the blessings of the Lord, but never really acknowledge him for the source of those blessings. Many of us enjoy the blessings of the Lord, but we rarely acknowledge that it was God who made it possible. In fact, the psalmist said, if it had not been for the Lord that was on my side. So real gratitude recognizes the source of our blessings. He knew that he wasn't blessed because he deserved it, but he was blessed because God had been good to him. Here's the second key insight to carry away from today's message is this. Gratitude is best expressed as this man did, genuinely and humbly. In other words, he came and despite all the folk that were around him, he fell and bowed down at the feet of Jesus in front of everyone. And I said earlier to the 8 o'clock congregation, and some folk are ashamed to even come to the altar because you don't want folk talking about you. Well, I've got news. Talk about me as much as you please. But the more you talk, I'm going to bend my knee. Is there anybody just grateful that God has been good to you? I'm humbled, Lord. I am genuinely grateful. True gratitude is when we genuinely and humbly acknowledge that if God had not been on our side, we would not be where we are today. Look at somebody and simply say, it was God. Not by power, nor by might. It was God. And here's the third and the final insight as you rest upon your feet all over this place. Ooh. And get ready because we might just have some church on this one, okay? Come on, Sister Regina. I like that song y'all sung earlier. I want you to get that ready for me. Gratitude unlocks something greater. And I would add, on our behalf. If you want another blessing, thank God for the blessings you already have. Listen to this. Gratefulness did not cause the miracle. It completed it. What do you mean, Pastor Jackson? 10 were cleansed, but only one was made whole. The King James says, Jesus says, arise, go thy way, because your faith has made thee whole. 10 got rid of leprosy, but only one had restored everything the enemy had taken.
I don't know what being whole meant, but one commentary suggested that this one got his house back, his family back, his job back, his joy back, his peace back. Woo! Look at your neighbor, say, neighbor, whole means everything the enemy stole, God's gonna give you back. Everything the enemy stole. And here's what God told me. The last point I want to make, and I need y'all to help me with this, get you a partner and say, neighbor, what we thank God for today. Come on, say it like you mean it. Say, neighbor, what you thank God for today will open the door to what God does for us tomorrow. If you want a blessing tomorrow, you Lord, for all.
Oh, thank you, Lord, you done for me.
Come on.
Oh, oh, thank you, Lord, for you done for me.
I need somebody to meet me at the altar and look me in the face and say, Pastor, those hands all over this place.
Hallelujah.
Look at somebody and say, I had to come back. Ooh. Pastor Edouard Smith puts it in a different way,
yes,
a little slower way,
traditional way. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. You've been so good.
Yes.
Don't say it if you don't mean it. You've been so good. I just want to thank you, Lord. You saved my soul. You saved my soul. I just want to thank you, Lord. I'm throwing this one in. You healed my body. Woo! You healed my body. I just want to thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Come on, Regina. Come on, team. Right now. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you. Everybody. Come on, everybody.
Thank you, Jesus. You, Lord.
Maybe there's somebody else who ought to be at this altar. Lord, I don't need anything. I just want to say thank you. Do me a favor. Amen. Leave your seat and just stand in the aisleways. I want to fill up the aisleways with grateful folk. In every aisleway, come on. Everybody, I want the cameras to see the aisleways
are
filled. That's right. Been so,
so good. You didn't have to do it, but you did, God. You've been so good.
more time. Yeah. Lift those
hands. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Because healing is the children's prayer.
Yes,
thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
You are the ultimate healer. You are.
Lift your hands and said, I just won.
You, Lord.
Will somebody lift your hands? Just look at your neighbor and say, neighbor.
You've been listening to the worship services of the Bible Way Church of Atlas Road, where Daryl Jackson is our pastor. Our worship services are open to all at 2440 Atlas Road in Columbia, South Carolina, just off I-77 between Shop and Bluff Roads. We will continue to air our services here on the radio. We're also streaming live on our website, bwcar.org, or on Facebook at Bible Way Church of Atlas Road, and now on YouTube. Our streaming services are available live on Sundays at 8 a.m. and 11 a.m., and on Tuesdays at 7 p.m. If you've missed any of our services and would like to watch them again, you can get them on demand on any of our social media channels. We invite you to stay in spiritual fellowship with us. To place your order for CD or DVD of today's message entitled An Act of Gratitude, please call us at 803-776-1238. Reference sermon number 030826. Again, the number is 803-776-1238. Sermon number 030826. Attention, ladies. March is Women's Month at Bible Way, and our women's ministry is hosting a month of events focused on spiritual renewal, fellowship, and fun. The theme for this year is Grateful Women of Bible Way. Go online at bwcar.org for a full list of events. Sunday, March 22nd is Women's Day at Bible Way. Get ready for an inspiring and joy-filled Women's Day celebration. This special day will feature a dynamic worship experience led by our Women's Day choir and special guest speakers, Dr. Sally Lakin at 8 a.m. and Elder Faith Jacobs at 11 a.m. Make plans to join us Sunday, March 22nd for Women's Day. We praise God for the testimonies of those who have received Christ and now have a deeper relationship with God as a result of this ministry. To sow a financial seed into this ministry, you can give online by checking the link on our website at bwcar.org. Or you can give right from your mobile phone by texting BWCAR and your giving amount to 73256. That's 73256. You can also mail your gift to Bible Way Church of Atlas Road, Post Office Box 90309, Columbia, South Carolina 29290. Please don't mail cash. Financial donations are being accepted at the church on Tuesdays from 12 noon until 6 p.m. Thank you for your continued support of this ministry. At Bible Way, our mission is to know God, to love, and to serve.